one of my favorite parts about being part of Mishmar is that by accident I'm here. I don't know if I'm supposed to be here, but it's really run. It's run by the boys, for the boys. And when you do that, you never know what's going to happen. You should expect a lot of surprises. And once you let the Svartan loose, you never know what's going to happen. And I think that was amazing that we just, you know, we were holding back the Svartan for so long, and then they just took over, and that was incredible. A tremendous mazel tov to Eliav, one of, please God, many. And I have a hunch, you tell me if you agree with me or not, but I have a hunch that was not his first time saying a Hadron. That was by far the most impressive Hadron I've ever heard. That was amazing. And Eliav is a huge pillar of yeshiva for the Shonav guys who might not know him. He's a tremendous pillar here. It's very possible he holds up the whole place. Could be he holds up the whole city. Could be he holds up the whole country. But Eliav, it's tremendous to be around him, to be in his presence, and to have this list to say, you're going to tell your grandkids, one day you're going to tell your grandkids that you were at that guy's first see him on Shas Mishnayos. And then you'll talk about Nazarov. You have a whole story. Your whole story. So I want to tell you a story. Speaking of stories, it says Vayikra Moshe al Kol Yisrael. At the end, Moshe called together all Klal Yisrael, and he told them, "Atem Re'isim, you saw Es Kol Asher Asa Hashem Le'Neichem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. You saw everything Hashem did in Egypt, Leparo, Lechol Avodov, Lechol Aretzim. You saw the Eser Makos. You saw what we went through. You've been there. We've been through it together. We all saw everything that went down. Hamasos, Hagadolos, the great miracles." Asher ro einecha with your own eyes. Ha'osos v'amosim ha'gadolim ahem. And then he says, after all that, 40 years traveling in the Midbar, 40 years traveling in the desert, we went through Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, we've been through a lot, the Mon and the Be'er, the Anani HaKovid. And then after 40 years, he says to Klal Yisrael, Lo nosan Hashem lochem leiv lo das, but Hashem has not given you a heart to know, to understand. Ve'inayim liros, Hashem has not given you eyes to see. Ve'oznayim lishmo, Hashem has not given you ears to hear. So after all that, after all we've been through, Hashem is still not giving you a heart to understand, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. Ad hayom hazeh. Until this day. After 40 years of traveling, and hardships, and complaining, and Magefas, and Meraglim, and Korach. After 40 years, Ad Hayom Hazeh, your eyes didn't see, and your ears didn't hear, and your heart hasn't understood. Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. And there's a Rashi. Rashi tells a whole story over here. I'm not going to go through the story. Something happened on that day. And at the end of Rashi, he makes a reference. He says, what day is that? On this day is the same day that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, on this day is the first day that you became an Om. It's not just that you got eyes to see and ears to hear and the wisdom of your heart finally understood. But on this day, you became a nation. What's this day? So it's referring to an earlier Pasuk. In an earlier Pasuk, Moshe says, Haske Sushma Yisrael. Listen, the nation of Yisrael. Hayom Hazeh Niyesu La'om La'Hashem Elokecha. On this day, you became a nation to Hashem our God. And Rashi says, what day is this day? Rashi says a very esoteric line. It doesn't seem like it has any relevance to the Pesukim. Rashi says, almost like a generic comment, it might sound like. He says, B'chol Yom, every day. This day means every day. It's a very nice message. It's very unclear what it means. This day means every day. So this pasuk says, on this day we got eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand on this day. On this day is the day we became a nation. And Rashi says it's every day, it's B'chol Yom. And a little earlier, there's an amazing progression of psukim. You have to read these psukim very carefully. I hold these psukim are a shtickel geiris for every Jew to become really what it means to be a Jew. Hayom hazeh, on this day, It's not by chance, it's not by coincidence that this is being repeated over and over in the same parasha. Yom Hazeh, a new set of psukim that say the same two words. Yom Hazeh, Hashem Elokecha mitzavcho lasos es achukim ha'elu ve'es ha'mishpotim v'shomarta v'asisa osam v'chol levavcho v'chol nafshcha. I don't need to translate, we all know what it means. Es Hashem he'emarta hayom, again on this day, Hashem he'emartad you. What does it mean, Hashem he'emartad you? It means on this day Hashem chose you. He became for you l'chol le'elokim. He chose you to follow in his ways. Lishmor chukov, mitzvosov, mishpotov, lishmor bekolo. V'Hashem he'emircha hayom li'os lo la'am segula. On this day he chose you, and on this day you chose him. U'lesitcha elyon, and on that day that he chose you and you chose him, he will be lesitcha elyon, who will place you on high, al kol ha'goyim, above all the nations. We're a very racist, extremely racist religion, extremely racist people, but not like the world says, racism, that you put other people down. We hold every single person on this planet is amazing and great, and B'Tselem Elokim, they're incredible. A human being is incredible. And God never puts any other nation down. L'sitcha Elyon, but He raises you up. He tells you, Klal Yisrael, every individual, every person on this planet is incredible. But Klal Yisrael is Elyon al Kol Hagoyim, more incredible than incredible. Racism doesn't mean to put anybody down or to say anything negative about another country, another nation, another people. It means to understand who you are, to understand what Hashem thinks of you. And Hashem says about you, L'sitcha Elyon, He raised you up above all the nations, L'sehila, L'shem, U'l'siferes, L'yoscha am kodosh l'Hashem Elokecha kasher dibe. On this day, and I want to talk about this day. What's so special about this day? What does it mean b'chol yom, every day? What does it mean on this day you got eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand? What does it mean that on this day he was l'sitcha elyon al kol ha'goyim? What does it mean that on this day you became an am kodosh and an am segula? What's this special day? And we're going to make it very clear. There's an Or HaChaim HaKadosh who starts out the Parsha. And he says the Parsha of Bikurim, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty. We're not going to spell out the details. But he says that the Parsha of Bikurim is a remez to the next world. The Parsha of Bikurim talks about the journey of a neshama that goes from this world to the Makom HaKadosh. The Makom HaKadosh ultimately is in the next world. And on that journey, you get to what he calls the Eretz Ha'Alyona, the land above all lands. That the people above all people, their ultimate destination is the land above all lands. We call it what you want to call it. You call it Gan Eden. You want to call it Olam Haba. He calls it the Eretz Ha'Alyona, the land that's above all lands. That the people who are above all people, the ultimately, their fate, the destination, the final place we're going to get to, for the people who are Elyon, will be in the place that's Elyon. And he describes that journey through the Parsha of Bikurim. And he says a line. He says a line, every Jew needs to hear this line. He says, She'ein roi adam l'smoa. You'll never experience joy. A person will never experience happiness. Ela kishiyavo l'aretz Elyonah. Until you get to that place above all places. When your heart feels like it's distant from where it belongs, it's hard to find true joy. When your heart finally arrives at the destination that you feel it's connected to, you feel that that's where it belongs, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that's going to be the time when the Adam is l'smoa. When you reach ultimate joy. And then surprisingly, shockingly, there's in the Tochacha, in the scary Tochacha, in the tragic Tochacha of this week's Parsha, Hashem tells you ultimately his complaint, Hashem, when he's telling you all the tragedies that will befall Klal Yisrael, it's a little bit from the Averis, a little bit we were careful in doing mitzvahs, we weren't living the way we were supposed to live. But ultimately that wasn't his major complaint. The major complaint of the Rabbanu Shalom at the end of the Tochacha, he says, Tachos esher lo avarato es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha. We didn't worship, we didn't work for the Ribono Shel Olam with positivity, with joy, with pleasantness, with a smile. And as an aside, you walk around yeshiva and sometimes you feel like the most serious guys, the guys who are the most into it and the most connected, sometimes you wonder, they should, a little more simcha should come out. If it's true, it's genuine, it should exude a little bit more simcha. Every person has to ask themselves in their avodas Hashem, if it's connecting to simcha, because ultimately that's what it's supposed to accomplish. Ultimately that's what Hashem wants, that's what Hashem is upset about if we don't get there. That the avodas Hashem is not reaching a place of simcha, so you could be a very serious guy, you could be very down to business, but you don't have to all day be with an angry look. You could have a smile, you could feel good about yourself, you can make other people feel good about themselves. Ultimately, that's the destination. And I wonder about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that he tells us the only place that's Roy L'Smoach is in the Eretz Elyona. And if that's true, then why is Hashem complaining that in this world, Tachas Asher Lo Avarato Es Hashem Lo Kecha B'Simcha U'Vituv Levav, that in this world Hashem complained that we didn't reach that lofty status of Simcha. If the only place we could reach it is in Olam HaElyon, the Eretz HaElyon, why are you complaining about the way we behaved in this world? So I want to tell you my thought, share with you my thought, and you'll think about it, you'll process it, you'll digest it, you'll tell me next week you're wrong. There's a lot of different guys here. Sometimes we look similar, wearing the same clothing, the same button-downs, the same pants, the same shoes. A lot of different guys, from different backgrounds, different neshamas, different histories, different families, different cultures and communities. A lot of different guys. You look the same, you smell the same, you're not the same. Different worlds. Different worlds because of the houses that you grew up in, the parents that raised you, the friends that you had, the schools that you went to. Different worlds. No similarities come out. A guy, two guys from the same city could have no similarities. The same shirt, the same shoes. They shop at the same stores. They went to the same camps. But no similarities. And on a very generic level, some guys were raised from a young age. You put on the Harvard sweatshirt. You took all the APs. You went to the ACT prep courses. You lived in a world of academics. Your whole world was based, you were raised in a world where primary and secondary, A to Z, was how well you did in school. That's going to get you to your level of success. That's going to get you to what you need to achieve. That's going to get you to money and wealth and reputation. And everything you need in the world is your A's and your A pluses and your 4.0s and your 1600s and your 36s. That's your whole world. You built the whole world on that. And some guys built the whole world on $80 an hour basketball lessons and private coaches and watching and playing and analyzing and winning Yeshiva League championships. That's your whole world. And MVPs, and camps, and sports. Your whole world. And these two guys, they look the same, they smell, no shaykhas. Two different worlds that they exist in. And other guys, I pity the last category. There's many categories, hundreds. Because every category has nuances, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and recipes. But the last category I pity, but it's a world of guys who live on Snapchat and FaceTime, absorbed in an entirely social existence of friends and status and popularity. I pity the guys who live in that world. It's a terrible world. It's by far the furthest from anything real. It has no shaychus to anything real. It's the biggest dimyon, the most illusion of a world. It's a world that's purely based on what other people think of you, what other people hold about you. It's a world of dimyon, there's an illusion. No truth in that world, but there's a world like that. And most guys, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, different recipes, different ingredients. And each guy has his own world. But if you analyze your own world, you'll realize you have a very sheltered world. When you talk about sheltering your kids, I ask you to look internally, look at yourself, and ask yourself how you were sheltered. What was the world that they created around you, the bubble that you lived in? The bubble that sports were the most important things, that academics was the most important thing, that the way you treated people, your family was the most important thing. Every guy sheltered in his own bubble. That was your world. And you call that your real world, because that's what they told you it is. And to be honest, I want to tell you my thought, When you try to daven in those worlds, it's very hard to daven in those worlds. Davening has no shaychus to those worlds. Davening is a tool to make requests for those worlds. But davening has nothing to do with those worlds. If davening for you is a tool to make requests to put you in a better standing in those worlds, wonderful. But that's not what davening is. That's a fraction, a small fraction of what tefillah is. Tefillah is much bigger and much broader and much richer than a tool to enhance your world of sports, to enhance your world of academics. It's a wonderful tool that you should definitely tap into. But that's a small fraction, a drop in the sea of what tefillah is. So a guy who lives in those worlds, it's very hard for him to connect to tefillah unless he needs to win a game, unless he needs to ace a test, unless he needs to get into a school. But otherwise, what's shaychus to tefillah? What does he have to do with the world of the Rabbonu Shel Olam? His little use for spiritual mechanisms, if his worlds are based on pure physical success. So when you get to a point like this in your life, where you feel like you're yearning and you're craving for that world, that spiritual reality, you work so hard to utilize and to try to infuse those spiritual mechanisms into your world, and it's a battle. It's a battle. You're fighting a battle. You're not going to win. Because you live in such a pure physical existence, and you're trying to take a fragment of Ruchnius and bang it up against the world you built so big and so tight, that bubble that nothing can get in, and there's no way Ruchnius can find a place. And you wonder, you're scratching your head, how come you hate davening? How come learning so hard? Because it doesn't fit into the world that you build up so tight. And you ask yourself, how come I'm not connecting? How come it's not working? How come it's not moving? How come I'm not getting there? And you didn't take a step back and ask yourself, look at the world you built. Look at the walls you built up so tall. And the ceilings that nothing could get in. No air, no rain, no water, nothing. Because everything is about academics and sports and popularity. It has nothing to do with Ruchnius. The worlds you built up so big and so strong, there's no place for tefillah. There's no place for the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And you perceive Eretz Elyona, this land above all lands, as a place so distant in a physical way, a place so distant in an emotional way. It's distant in time. It's so distant from your current existence that it's so difficult to use it as a motivator. The next world, who knows what's there? I'm not even sure if I believe. I can't even know what to believe. I can't fathom. A world that's full of Ruchnius, that's kol kulo, that's only Ruchnius, a person who's kol kulo gashmi, how could that motivate him? How could he want that? How could he dream about that? A person who lives kol kulo in a world of physicality, how could he get excited about a world that has zero physicality? A world with no sports and no grades and no tests and no books and no colleges and no exams and no ACTs and no jobs. How could you get excited about such a world when your whole world was built up A to Z, step by step, from the bottom to the top of just all kol kulo, this world? But if that world, that Eretz Elyon, is a place where simcha could be attained, and God is disappointed in us, that in this world that we live in, that we're not attaining it, I want to tell you a simple conclusion of what that means. A very, very simple conclusion of what that means. That means the Eretz Elyona is not in a different world. That means the Eretz Elyona could be attained by Yom Hazeh. On this day, on HaYom Hazeh, in this place, in our lives, this world could be attained right here, HaYom Hazeh, right now. In this place that you live in this world that you live in this existence that you're building,
This Eretz Elyona, this world that is a Ruchniistic world, could exist right here and right now. L'sit chol Elyon, to make you a higher person, to make you part of a higher nation. Li'oscho la'am kadosh, es Hashem he'emarta v'Hashem he'emircha. When you choose God, Hashem chooses you. Li'oslo la'am segula, to be for Him a chosen nation, not in the next world, not after you pass through a world of physicality, but when you turn, when you exchange your world of physicality for a world of spirituality. In this world, in this place, when you transform everything you've known, the bubble that you've built, that small world, into a big world, into a greater world, into a loftier world. Forget your small world of sports and popularity and tests and grades and colleges and careers. You'll have that too. You'll have that much better. But that's not your world. Your world is so much more valuable than that. You don't need to settle for crumbs. Your career is going to be fantastic. Your house is going to be gorgeous. You're going to drive all the cars you want. But that's not the world you live in. That's the crumbs of your world. That's the smallest fragments and fractions. That's the smallest elements of your world. Don't focus on your crumbs. Your world is Elyon. In Eretz Elyona. In this existence, Bayom Hazeh. In this world that looks physical and tastes physical and smells physical and feels physical, it's the furthest thing from physical. When you're in the dining room, there's no shaychus to physical. When you're playing ball on the court, has nothing to do with physical. You're with neshamas, interacting in a spiritual way. You're working on people's midos and doing chesed in the dorms. In the dorms is the holiest kedusha. The holiest kedusha exists in the dorms when a person is trying to emulate his creator and doing chesed and being sensitive and thinking about other people's needs and wants, of what the guy next to me desires and what's important for him and valuable for him. What could I forego that he could have more and he could be more comfortable and he could have a better experience? The holiest thing could exist in the dorms. The most ruchniistic experience in the dorms. Forget the base medrash on the court. Forget the base medrash in the dining room. Forget the base medrash. And then in the base medrash, imagine what that would look like. If the dining room is called kulo ruchni and the dorms are called kulo ruchni, and the courts are called Kulo Ruchni. Imagine what the Beis Medrash looks like. Imagine what your neshama would look like. It's very simple. Your neshama would be Elyon. It would be La'am Kadosh. It would be an Am Segula. Because it would be called Kulo. It would be so easy to daven. Because that's your whole world. Your world is a world where you're connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom. So easy to daven. So easy to learn because that's your whole world. That's all you think about. That's all you dream about. You wake up in the morning. You go to sleep at night. From the base to the bed. And the bed to the base. That everything you do in Gashmi has nothing to do with Gashmi. Everything you do in physicality has no connection to physicality. You're kol kulo. You're everything. You're all day. You're every hayom hazeh b'chol yom. It's to make yourself great in a land that's kol kulo great. To make yourself elyon in a land that's kol kulo elyon. And with this so easy, in a world that everybody struggles to find simcha, it'd be so easy to, by accident, to fall into simcha so smoothly every day. Because that's simcha. When your heart is craving and yearning for something, and then finally it feels like it found it. Finally, when the destination felt so distant, and you finally feel like you arrived, the simcha sees no bounds. The simcha has no end. Because you're in a place that you finally found comfort. It's the place that you really belong. And Klal Yisrael is the Am Elyon that belongs in the Eretz Elyona. And it's because our Kol Kulo, our A to Z, our everything that we do and everything that we breathe is Kol Kulo Ribono Shalom. And then the davening and the learning, so easy. So easy. Because that's the world that we build. So Mirtz Hashem, this should be a year that the worlds that we build for ourselves and for everybody around us is kol kulo ruchni, in a place, in a yeshiva, that's called Kulo Ruchni, in a land that's called Kulo Ruchni, connecting to our Borei Olam, that's called Kulo Ruchni. Shabbat, good Shabbos.